If you ever find yourself at Hollow Pines Plantation, the first thing you'll notice is how quiet it is. No birds singing, no crickets chirping, no frogs croaking. It's like they were all scared off by something. Something invisible. Invisible, but everywhere. Kind of like God, but also not like God at all. It's not a peaceful kind of quiet either. It's more like an everything here is dead kind of quiet. Every once in a while, though, we get visitors. They can make a ton of racket, and they usually end up being real sorry for it. Hollow Pines doesn't like being disturbed. Hollow Pines likes the quiet. And Hollow Pines always gets what it wants. I should know. It wanted me. I used to be one of those noisy visitors. Back when I lived just down the road a ways, I would sometimes ride my bike to the deserted plantation. I thought it was a pretty cool place back then. It was like having my own huge secret hideout. There's a sign at the turnoff on the highway. Crooked, dingy, and rusted. Like it doesn't want to be spotted too easily. Hollow Pines. Established 1718. Once you turn at the Hollow Pines sign, you'd go down a dark, mile-long dirt road that snakes through a forest of soaring pine trees so tall they look like they're racing one another up to heaven. Pine trees grow like weeds around here, and that's why a lot of folks in Georgetown County work at the paper mill. My daddy, my uncle, and my granddaddy, they all worked there. Daddy probably thought I'd grow up to work there too, but I had other plans. I always wanted to be a TV news anchor, like Mr. Walter Cronkite. It's a real job. But, like Grandma sometimes said, that's neither here nor yonder now. At the end of Hollow Pines Road, two crumbling stone columns at least three times as tall as I am stand guard on either side of the road, with huge old oil lanterns mounted on them. Vines choke the lanterns, and bright green moss has near about swallowed the stone columns whole. I always wondered what the gates of hell looked like until I saw what's left of the Hollow Pines Plantation gates for the first time. Not really come on in and sit a spell looking, so much as come on in because this is your last stop forever looking. Just beyond that, you'll find Live Oak Lane. A long, straight-shot, sandy driveway of sorts that runs all the way up to the manor house. It's lined with rows of massive live oaks on either side, which I reckon is how it got its name. Spanish moss drips from the sprawling branches like fat clusters of dried-up silly string draping the road, looking a little creepy and kind of beautiful all at the same time. I always thought live oak was a funny name for the trees. Aren't all trees live somethings? I mean, we don't go around saying live magnolias or live maples. But I guess in a place like Hollow Pines, it's best to call out the living things whenever you can. After you pass through the stone columns and onto Live Oak Lane, you'll find yourself smack dab in the middle of the old slave village. Only a handful of rundown cabins are left. Their roofs dip in low, as if their load is just too heavy to bear anymore. A small chapel stands in the center of the village. But for the life of me, I can't think what them enslaved folks had to be praising Jesus about. But Grandma used to say, hope dwells in peculiar places. And I guess she was right about that. Even though there are only about six cabins left in the slave village, Grandma said there used to be dozens upon dozens of them lining Live Oak Lane, clear up to the manor house. She said that a long time ago, half of the rice crop in the entire United States of America came from the plantations right here in Georgetown County. Of course, America wasn't nearly as big back then as it is now, but still, that's a heck of a lot of rice. Why'd they put those cabins right up there in the front yard for everyone to see? I asked Grandma one time. Weren't they ashamed of themselves for owning real live people and making them work for no money? Grandma shook her head and lowered her voice. No, they weren't ashamed, none. The folks who owned all the plantations around here wanted their fancy guests riding up to the manor house to see how well off they were. Black folk were treated like property back then, and the more of them a man owned, that meant the more money he had. That's one of those things about the plantations around here that they never taught us in school.